I'm Ed the Sock, and this is FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network, powered by your support on Patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, Patreon.com/FU Network TV, and through PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. Drop us a few bucks. Don't be a freeloader. And now, here's your show.
Now, let's listen.
For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say on the bus.
Hello, welcome to Men's Planning. I'm Stephen Kersner, filling in for Ed the Sock, who's taking a bit of a sabbatical. And today on Men's Planning, which is men talking to other men, the way men talk to men, about how to be better men in a world that is rapidly changing around us. Our panelists today, Hafiz Noorani, who is a producer of the show, as well as a digital marketing and content analyst and consultant from Vancouver. Thanks for joining us, Hafiz.
You're very welcome, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
And Matt Turner, who is a science fiction aficionado, as well as a model, an actor, and currently producing a documentary film. Is that not right?
That's correct, yes. Thank you very much for having me.
Glad to have you. Andy Willis from Andyland Radio. Hi, Andy.
Steven, you're always one of my favorites.
Oh, now I want one of your favorites. Okay.
So you're the best. You're my Christmas miracle.
No, it's gone now. I prefer the truth, but I like to know where I stand with you. Now I know.
The truth is very sobering.
Yes, it's very sobering. And Andrew Guridata, who has been involved in science fiction fandom at a very high level in the Toronto community for a very long time, the founder and producer of the late lamented Constellation Awards, which was Canada's sci-fi awards. Thank you for joining us, Andrew.
Well, thank you.
So today, I thought maybe we would just do a little show talking about what our favorite toys were growing up. And maybe some other people can relate to that. And the fact that we've got different generations represented here, I think, is important. So why don't we start first with Andy Willis. Andy, your favorite toy growing up?
My favorite toy, I think it was the television. That doesn't count.
That's an appliance.
Well, I guess all I got was heavy electronic appliances. I don't know. As a kid, I didn't get any toys. I didn't want to sound like a total schnur, but like I would literally only get socks. Like that's all I get. It was like socks and like a mandarin orange. Like I do not recall any Christmas I ever received a toy, if to be quite honest with
you. Wait, you never received a toy for Christmas?
Well,
or Hanukkah?
Because
I know that you've got your two faiths, raising two faiths.
I hold the Jewish faith very near and dear to me, but my family clearly didn't. They were waspy as hell. They hated the Jewish side of my family. Fuck them. Anyways, but all I remember is like I get a sock with like a mandarin orange and some socks in it. It was very meta. It was very
great. So I started our show about favorite toys with the only person who didn't even get it.
Literally, put a violin in the background. I mean, please, like you know.
Did you like the mandarin orange?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it was the only fruit I had seen in years.
So it's kind of a toy. You have to peel it and stuff. There's activity. If you'd had imagination, you could have turned it into just about anything.
Andy, but you had to have had some toys growing up.
They were like really uptight, very Protestant, very, we literally
Protestant people have toys too.
I guess that was maybe the rich ones. We literally had garbage bags for sleds. I'm not kidding you. Like we never had slip and slides. We'd use a garbage bag.
Wait, okay. I have to ask you though, were you raised in a lower socioeconomic bracket?
Yes, out in the valley.
Okay, so that's a different story then. That's not parents necessarily being unsupportive. It's they gave you what they could.
Well, no, they could have given me a little bit more, but.
All right.
But, you know. Okay. No grudges held here, baby.
No, I'm not hearing anything carried forward. No, none at all, Andy.
No.
Okay. Andrew Guridata, favorite toy as a kid, please.
So I had a lot of action figures. This was, 1970s. So we're talking Micronauts, we're talking $6 million men figures. I had the whole run of Battlestar Galactica action figures and the Buck Rogers action figures, a few Star Wars, not a huge number to Star Wars. I had Pulsar, which I was a
new title. Oh my God, Pulsar.
Pulsar and his opponent Hypnos, right?
Pulsar was the hero who you could see the his heart beating through his chest and the blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. That's a very strange
crazy
superpower
concept
feature.
When you think about it.
Yeah. But those were your favorite toys and you played with them
absolutely,
all together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
But if you had to pick a favorite amongst them, which would
Oh, wow. It might have actually been the Pulsar one, because that was just, it was just so weird. And there was so, you got this thing with no backstory, which was kind of cool, because you could just sort of make up whatever you wanted about him, which is a little different. Like, you weren't just trying to rebuild on existing things. Like, this was a toy that they made, this character, that all you knew about him is you could see his chest and his lungs and his blood pump and his enemy, when you push the little button, he shot sparks, right? Like, a little wheel turned in his chest and it shot sparks. And that's all you knew, so everything else was coming out of your imagination. So it's really kind of cool.
It's interesting. We'll return to that. Okay. Hafiz, favorite toy growing up?
Man, okay. I had this collection of Batman action figures based on the animated series Batman.
Yes.
Kind of a tie-in. The Joker from that was voiced by, what's his name? Mark Hamill, the same guy as Luke Skywalker from our last episode. But I had the Batmobile from that had the plane that would pull out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the wings. Yeah.
Can you mute Matt's phone again? I can hear the... There we go.
Yeah. Say it again. Say the Batmobile. Start from the beginning. Hafiz Nirani, your favorite toys as a kid.
Man, do you remember the animated series Batman?
Anyone not remember Batman the Animated Series? A classic.
And the tie-in, like, from our last episode, Mark Hamill voiced the Joker.
Yes.
And so that whole series was amazing. I had the action figures from that, and I got to tell you, I remember those to this day. And the Batman had the crazy utility belt that would actually have a flying hook with a little little string attached to it. The Batmobile came with a whole plane that pulled out of the back. I would set up entire universes of all my action figures between my bedroom and the entire living room, and it was all a huge scene, and my parents absolutely fucking hated it, but my action figures were my thing, always.
Oh, okay. And, it's interesting, Andrew and I are roughly the same vintage, and he mentioned, Andrew Gurdada, a lot of the toys that I would have mentioned, but, my first favorite toy was a Captain Marvel, known today as Shazam, figure from Mego, which was really the first toy company to really make superhero toys other than little plastic figures that never moved. I remember how much I loved that Captain Marvel figure in the little Mego box, and you could see on the back of the box all the other toys that I wanted, but I knew I was never going to get. and back then, I remember the price. It was $3.99. But at that time,
they shot up after. Like,
well, at that time, $3.99 was not cheap. You know, for a toy.
Oh, really? Okay,
no,
yeah.
No,
I guess,
not at
yeah.
all. But I remember that my parents got me the full size G.I. Joe, the original G.I. Joes, which were much taller figures, more articulated. It was the one where he had the real hair, apparently, he had the hair and the beard. It was an action kit where he fought there was a shark that he could stab. And I said, this isn't Captain Marvel. And my mother said, well, if we take this back, you can't have this and the Captain Marvel figure. And I said, that's fine. Take it back. She thought I would just say fine, but no, I got that Captain Marvel figure. And loved it. But my favorite toys growing up were the Micronauts, which many people weren't familiar with. They came out the same time as the Star Wars toys, except that they were based on a line from Japan. I didn't know that until many years later. But they were, I encourage you to look them up. There were these figures that were
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, they were interchangeable. You could move parts around and create different things. And they had no backstory for people in North America. In Japan, they were part of a cartoon and thing called Microman, but I had no idea of that. And so it was just my imagination, who these characters were, what their names were. Their designations were on the box: Time Traveler, Space Glider, so on, the evil Baron Karza, Force Commander, his opposite number, as a hero. There was no backstory that I knew of, so my imagination could just make whatever it wanted with these toys. And for me, they were just absolutely fascinating. I wanted so many of them that when I was an adult, I made it a point. I went to a Micronaut convention and saw this one guy's collection, which was just everything. And I was like, all right, like those Canadian Tire commercials, I want that. And I set out to do that. And I actually have a giant Micronaut toy collection all set up, except for something called the Terrafant, which was, I looked at it and said, this actually looks like a really shitty toy in the Micronaut line. But there is something to the fact that when you get toys like Pulsar, like Andrew had, which had no backstory, there you could color outside the lines, because there were no lines. You could make whatever you wanted.
I think every kid does that. Like, I used to get hand-me-down action figures. I have a cousin that's 5 years older, and he was living in New York at the time. So I got all the He-Man figures before He-Man was even released in India. And that's what I did. I created my own story. But then, you know, you see the He-Man cartoon. But I think as a kid, you combine things. Like, I had He-Man with G.I. Joe and whatever other action figures, and they'd be all fighting together. And that was my ultimate universe.
Even though they were all completely different proportions.
Completely different. Completely different proportions. But that didn't matter. No. Especially the little G.I. Joes that came out, you know, for the main G.I. Joe world that they have.
Yeah, listen, I think we all know G.I. Joe, and knowing is half the battle.
Yeah.
Let's talk. I want to talk to Matt. Matt, favorite toy?
When I was a kid, I was all about three things. I was all about action figures, video games, and Lego.
Okay. Of those three, which favorite was your most treasured toy?
I was a big fan of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles growing up. So for me, it wasn't the turtle van, I had the turtle pizza slinger. So you can load up these plastic discs that look like pizza and hurl them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, eh?
It was dangerous, man.
Anything you wanted.
It was dangerous, yeah.
You can shoot a kid's eye out with that.
They had a warning on that box not to aim it at pets, and I didn't have any pets then. Yeah. I remember shooting that thing at walls, and holy fuck, did those things fly hard.
All right, so
my poor dog, man. My poor dog. But I would, similar to what you guys have actually just touched on, I had a lot of action figures from all sorts of universes, and it was always fun to kind of create like this giant meta universe, kind of like the Marvel Secret Wars, where all these people came together and just fought, and they random team ups and mashups. I thought that was just the best thing to do as a kid. That and play Game Boy.
Okay, all right, great. And I think a lot of people can relate, and what you're saying about the Ninja Turtles as you know your favorite toy will resonate with a lot of people who are listening. So that I appreciate you sharing that. And by the way, Andrew Gurudatta, were the Battlestar Galactica toys not the absolute worst action figures in the world?
You know what? I think the Buck Rogers ones were a little bit worse, because the Buck Rogers ones were the ones that there was a tiny little rubber band inside that held their legs to their body, and they invariably broke, so you always lost legs.
I was pretty sure those were made of partially asbestos as probably. Well. The cheapest plastic they could find.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, they were just the thing I liked about Micronauts versus Star Wars toys, though. You know, Star Wars was Star Wars, and I did have some Star Wars toys, is that the Micronauts, their elbows moved and their knees moved and their hips moved, and whereas the Star Wars toys, the articulation was so poor. I didn't, and the Micronaut Battle Cruiser was for me a revelation. It was a fighter plane, like a fighter jet that you could reconfigure into a million things. But it was a fighter. It was the thing that three of them could go, and even more if you stand. So for me, that was like the greatest. And I have to tell you that all of the toys I had as a kid, I still have them. I didn't throw any of them out. I'm standing here looking at one of my favorite toys ever was the Shogun Warriors, which came from Japan. I have Mighty Mazinga, the original, who had the big plastic V on his chest, not the one that came later, which was just like a sticker. I have Mike Power, the Atomic Man, who was when the $6 million man figures were so popular that they were selling out everywhere at ShopRite and Consumers Distributing, the G.I. Joe people came out with a ripoff of the $6 million man called Mike Power, Atomic Man. And you could see his bionic parts were transparent and you could see inside. And I got that, though the $6 million man, also one of my favorite figures, Andrew. And I've got all of them, including Oscar Goldman, the government official with the exploding briefcase, which is a very, very strange, like, it's like, how is that? First of all, who wants the character who is an administrator in the show? And secondly, here, if you don't stand back, I'm going to blow my arm off with my briefcase, which the briefcase also weighed more than the rest of the toy. But it came with Sasquatch, the $6 million man toys did. And man, that was awesome. So I kept all my toys. Because
I think we need an MTV Cribs of you walking through your lair of toys.
They're actually
I've done video zooms with you and your
the late lamented the late lamented Space Channel, which is now CTV Sci-Fi. Natasha Eloy, the videographer, came to me and Leanna's house and covered our superhero toy collection. We actually had a really long wall in the house we moved into. That we bought a house in 2001, I think it was. And we had a custom built, it was 11 feet by 10 feet with glass doors and shelves for our superhero toy collection. And it was full. And when we moved to the new house, somehow we managed to actually get that thing, which was supposed to be a built-in, managed to get it disconnected and brought to the house. So it's here now and we're just still filling it with the toys that are packed, but I didn't want to let go of my childhood. And thankfully I haven't had to. And maybe it's time for an updated Cribs once this all, if you guys were to look around where I'm recording now in my office, you would think a child lives here.
I did what I originally saw your Fortress of Solitude.
No, you saw only parts of it there, Hafiz. And you know, if you thought a child lives here, you'd probably be right. Favorite toys. I mean, that's great. It's Christmas, Hanukkah was for many people about toys, getting that toy that was just too expensive for you to afford with your allowance saved up, that your parents got for you. I remember, those of you old enough will remember the Sears and Eaton's catalogs, Christmas catalogs. The Sears wish book that would come, and you'd open it up, and you'd find the toys, and you'd dog-ear it, and look at, like, it was this wonderful world of all these toys you didn't even know existed in the universe of the toys that you collected. And I would always tell my parents, this is the one that I wanted them to get me. And then I knew which one I was going to get with the Hanukkah money I got from my grandparents. I think today kids' toys are mostly video games in a lot of ways. There's not a lot of physical. I don't know for sure. But
there's vapes.
There's vapes?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not – it's really not
recommended. Get your kid a vape.
It's not recommended for 7 and 8-year-olds. I think you need to read the thing on the side. Thank you guys for sharing your memories with us. And I hope that for the people out there who haven't enjoyed Hanukkah or Christmas just very recently or enjoying it now, brings back some fond memories for you and maybe take you to the basement or the attic and find out where those toys are. Because I'll tell you also that I had so many duplications of Micronauts eventually that I put them together and gave them to my best friend's son. who is basically like a nephew to me. And he's a kid of the modern world. And his eyes lit up like mine did when I was a kid. And he continues to play with them. This kid is playing with toys that are 30 years old and having as much fun with them now, maybe even more fun because he's combining them in ways I hadn't thought of than I did back then. So the sign of a great toy is one that can, you know, go from generation to generation, and kids can rediscover it. An interesting thing about Micronauts is that they led to another toy line that nobody interestingly mentioned, Transformers, because the Micronauts, with their interchangeability, eventually led to the Proto-Transformers, which led to the Transformers and that whole explosion of the Transformers toy line. So without the Micronauts and Microman in Japan, there wouldn't have been the Transformers, which for many kids was just the absolute best. There's a lot of genealogy in toys, and toys can tell us an awful lot about the culture and society when those toys came out. There's an awful lot that anthropologists can sift through. But we're not going to do that today, because today was all about fun, magic, toys, joy. And I hope we've brought some of that to you. I want to thank Matt Turner. And Matt, you're coming to us from where again?
I'm in Vancouver right now, but I tend to travel around a lot.
Okay, so Matt, thank you very much for joining us. Hope to have you again, and want to thank Andrew Guradada as well for joining us and sharing with us. Thank you, Andrew.
Well, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Hafiz Nurani, our producer. I want to thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks, thank you, Stephen. Hafiz. Happy Hanukkah to you.
Thank you. And I know you were raised with a Catholic mother and a Muslim father. So I wish isn't that the case?
Yeah, that is absolutely the case.
Yeah. So I wish I wish you a merry half Christmas and a delayed happy Eid. Andy Willis, also raised in a family
weirdos.
Half Christian, half Jewish.
It was weird.
I will wish you a merry half Christmas and a happy half Hanukkah.
Thank you.
And to all of you listening, I wish you merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa. If that's there's some black friends who say that isn't a thing, but who the hell am I to judge? If you celebrate it, good for you. And to all of you atheists out there, I wish you a very happy day off. And that's it. I'm Stephen Kersner. This is Mensplaining. And, you know, they say the only thing that separates the men from the boys is their toys, or that, amongst men, the man who dies with the most toys wins. So it does tie into this whole idea of mensplaining. And nowadays, the toys that we need at FU Network and FU Politics are of the technical variety. We, you know, need to be able to do maintenance on and buy equipment. The laptop that we originally launched this network with just died, and we're going to have to refurbish or replace it. Plus also just trying to maintain and expand and give you entertaining programming that sounds like you, and speaks with you, not at you, in the language that you're used to, and has camaraderie and friendship, as well as some insight. Our political programming, a lot of insight, a lot of looking at programming or looking at issues from angles you won't get from either the mainstream media or from the radical left, radical right. Very valuable conversations that also remove jargon and punditry and all the other barriers to entry that a lot of political coverage, be it online, cable news, television, a lot of those barriers, we remove them. And so if you'd like to support us in our cause, become a subscriber, become a patron of our channel. Patreon.com is the place to do that. P-A-T-R-E-O-N. patreon.com/FU Network TV. It's just as it sounds, FU Network TV. FUNETWORK TV. Or if you want to just give a one-time boost, a one-time contribution, that's greatly appreciated too. You can do that through PayPal at our email address, which is funetworktv@gmail.com. funetworktv@gmail.com. funetworktv is one word, by the way, no dots. funetworktv@gmail.com. Thank you all. I'm Stephen Kersner, filling in for Ed the Sock.
For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, let's all say all of us.
This is fun, the FU Network.